Good. Tonight my sermon's title is Knowing the Truth. And knowing the truth is also knowing what is said in the Bible to be true. The knowledge of Scriptures affects our attitude toward the present and the future. The more we know about what God has done in years past, the greater the comfort, the confidence we'll have to accept what His will do in the days to follow and the days ahead. We should read our Bibles diligently. We should read our Bibles so we can see and to increase our trust that God's will is best for us. Now, the Bible is a living book that God's words reveal to us not only the past, but tells us what is truth about what's happening around us today. Through the Holy Spirit, we can understand that the myths that we hear and whom they come from and what their agenda is. The truth will teach us and show us that the light shows us the adversary and who the adversary is. And that light will destroy his devious works. As we see what's going on today with Israel and Hamas and what's going on in Iraq and with the Isthmus, it's truly biblical what's happening out there. It's truly biblical what is going on and what is not only facing the world but facing the nations out there. And to see the horrendous acts against Christians, against even Muslims, of a people of a belief that we understand, being Christians and being believers, that we understand is totally directed and controlled and orchestrated by the great deceiver. Satan's hands are out. Satan's hands are in this. And wherever Satan goes, he fills up a vacuum when good people withdraw. When good people of the Lord withdraw and go into their own shell or exactly want to withdraw from what's going on to stop that conflict or to get involved in what's going on, well, there's a vacuum there. And guess who's there to fill that vacuum up? The only way that we can really understand what's going on is to also understand what's happened in the past, what the Lord showed us happened in the past, through the different stories in the Bible and through the different things that we see, how nations turned away from the Lord and what happened to those nations and what happened to the nations that stayed with belief and got stronger and stronger and walked with the Lord each day and how they overcame the adversary. Now, the Old Testament provides a truth along with the New Testament. We need to read the entire Bible because the words of God is the entire truth and was written for our help. Paul's writing to the Christians, and I quote, this is from Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's in Romans 15:4. Personal application. How do we do this? First, an understanding we must be personally related to God through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have a personal involvement. In order to read the Bible and to understand what He's saying to us, what the Lord wants us to understand, we have to have that relationship. Those that just read the Bible and don't have that relationship with the Lord, don't have the Holy Spirit defining what is being said, are lost. What they're reading is just words. And what they're reading is maybe a history. They really are not getting what the Lord is trying to tell them because they're not hearing it. Not only are they not hearing it, they're not seeing it, and they're not feeling it. They're oblivious of it. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. We must yield our lives to God and depend upon His power through His indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all that's truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." That's in John 16:13. The truth into which the Holy Spirit guides us is the truth about Christ. The Spirit also helps us through patient practice to discern the right from the wrong. It's a guide. The Bible is a living book. The Bible is a book that not only tells us about the past, it tells us about what's going on today and tells us what's going to happen in the future. There is no other book like it. And through the Holy Spirit, by us reading this, we are able to crystal clear see what God wants us to do, to be able to listen to Him and understand that He has something for us He particularly wants us to do, for us to be able to serve Him. One of the things that we'll learn by reading the Bible is preparation for victory. We'll learn about that in Joshua 1-5. Winning of a victory. The fruits of a victory. And the responsibilities of victory. If we're going to have victory over the adversary, first of all, we have to prepare for it. What is the best preparation for battle? Not only getting yourself and your body in shape, but also getting the spirit in shape. Making that spirit as sharp as the sharpest diamond cutter. And the only way that can be done is letting God form and sharpen us. Winning the victory. If we're going to fight a battle against the adversary, are we fighting it just to hold it, just to say, okay, we're going to fight it until we can just hold him at bay, and then we're going to go home? Soldiers are trained to fight a battle to win. They're not to fight a battle just to cross a certain line and stay there. No, they're to cross that line and defeat forever that enemy. If we don't, what happens? He's still there. He gets stronger. He gets bigger. When I think of what's happening with Israel and Gaza, when I think about the rockets being fired on Israel and then Israel fighting back, and they talk about war crimes. Well, it's a war crime to use civilians as shields. It's a war crime to use civilians to hide your armies behind. It's also a war crime to fire into innocent villages, to fire rockets into cities. We're not hearing that. We're hearing one side of the story. And who's pushing that agenda? Who's pushing that side of the story? I know from experience that hearts and soldiers can be broken if they're not allowed to do their job. If they're not allowed to go to what they've been trained to do, to win, if they're held back and then told to go home, and then when they go home, they're told that, well, you lost it. You didn't finish it. That can have a devastating effect on many men. As a Vietnam veteran and those brothers that served with me, this has been something that has heartbroken us for many years. We didn't make the political decision to come back. Our decision was to win. And the history shows that every battle in Vietnam was never lost by the Americans. We won every battle. Can you think of that and then lose? And then to be able to pull back? One of the things I'm seeing now is this happening again. I'm seeing our own veterans now, our younger veterans, that have fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, the cities of Iraq that have fallen to the enemy again. And the young men are saying, I was just in that city. My buddies were killed in that city, trying to liberate that city. And their hearts are being torn out. Recently, I had the privilege to go to a church in South Tampa area, actually in Riverview area, And there was a group of Afghan and Iraqi vets that were meeting on a special meeting after church. And I was invited to go there to speak with them, being a veteran and being able to talk to them a little bit. You see, it's hard for veterans to talk to civilians or to talk to somebody that really can't speak the lingo or doesn't understand or has never been scared to death and wanted to go home in the middle of the night and been a thousand miles away. It's hard for them to relate unless that person is experienced. And I look at my experience now as a blessing. I look at experience at the time I didn't think it was. At the time I thought it was horrible. But I look at it now as a blessing. The Lord used that experience that I can now help others. And I can listen. And I can see what the guys are saying. And they're saying the names of these towns that they fought and they bled for. And they've got this plea in their heart that does anybody understand? And I simply said, Saigon, Incheon, Udorn, Cameron Bay, Phuket. They're all gone. I know, guys, what you're saying. But I know there is a victory that we can be had. And that victory can come from us with the new commander-in-chief above all commanders-in-chiefs. And that commander-in-chief is the King of Kings. He is the one that met Joshua there with the sword and said, I am the one to lead the Lord. I'm the leading God's armies. It's upon us. A time is here for us to choose. A time is now for us to become spiritual warriors again. To stand up and gather the broken. Gather the ones whose hearts have been broken. Gather the ones around them. Have the Lord heal them. Have the Holy Spirit come into them. And raise them up. And raise that army up to fight against that adversary. It's the only way it's going to ever, ever win. And this time, when our Lord comes back, and this time, when our Lord comes back, there will be no 38th parallel. There will be no DMZ, demilitarized zone. There will be no ceasefire, because it is going to be hard on those that don't believe. And it's going to be even harder on the ones that believe in the wrong thing. There's responsibilities for victory. And the responsibilities are that we do, once we achieve that victory for the Lord, that we give that glory to the Lord. It wasn't us. It was the Lord through us. And Joshua 1 through 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's not enough to possess the words of God or even to study it. We must do what it says. We must do what he tells us to do. In James 1:22, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. God promised to be with Joshua, but Joshua also had to be with God. Through submission to his will, the Old Testament provides the truth, submission to his will, and obedience to his word. This was the pattern of victory for Joshua. And it's the pattern of victory for us. Many Christians complain that they have difficulty understanding the Bible, and they are unable to discern the will of God for their lives. Much of the difficulty comes from the fact that they are apathetic about reading and studying the Bible. And they're indifferent to the commands that there are enough plain statements of God's will. The Bible, there's enough in there, the Bible, that can be actively engaged, doing what we know to be what the Lord wants us to do. just to submit ourselves to Him, the way to know more of the will of God is to do what we already know to be His will. When you look at the hopelessness and the rebellion of Jericho, we can liken it to the world, the worldly system that we see now. This is ripe for judgment, and it's hurtling to doom, to the doom. But there is hope. There is hope for the ones who dares to leave it, to take God's side. We have to choose sides. We are reminded of God's eternally to His people in the end times as He prepares to judge Babylon. As He judged Babylon, He will judge the world. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of here, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven. God has remembered her claims, remembered her crimes." And that's in Revelations 18, 4 through 5. Now the people of Babylon lived in luxury and pleasure. The city boasted, "I sit as a queen, and I will never mourn." The powerful, wealthy people of this world are susceptible to the same attitude. The same attitude we'll see today. The George Soroses, the powerful people, are susceptible to the same attitude. A person who's financially comfortable often feels invulnerable. They feel secure and in control, feeling no need for God or anyone else. This kind of attitude defies God, and His judgment against it is harsh. We're told to avoid Babylon's sins. If you are financially secure and don't become complacent and deluded by the myth of self-sufficiency, use your resources to help others and advance God's kingdom. In Joshua, it's noted that there are allusions to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Joshua, in a sense, Rahab's deliverance from Jericho becomes a symbolic of our deliverance from sin and death. And by its color of the scarlet cord, anticipates the redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished from us as death on the cross. When she put that scarlet cord and hung it out the window to note that, so all the other soldiers that came from Israel, the Jewish soldiers knew that she was the one that helped the two spies, and that she would be saved. Personal application. And I'll be wrapping up in just a second. Each of us need to ask the question: am I like Rahab in personal faith, or more like the king of Jericho, who through his strong fortifications and fighting people thought that they would deliver him? But Rahab trusted and therefore knew that God would deliver her. Let's not minimize the grace of God. Rahab, for all her sinful past, became identified with the people of God through her faith. And it's even listed in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. See Matthew 1, 5 through 6. Rahab became the wife of Solomon and the mother of Boaz, who was the grandfather of Jesse, the father of King David. The Apostle Paul, in listing various kinds of sinners who will not inherit the kingdom of God, went on to say to the Corinthians, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." That's in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. There's only one way that we can become part of God's army and truly be His warrior. And that is, first of all, to surrender to Jesus Christ, to let the Spirit indwell in us, the Holy Spirit indwell in us. And the best way of that happening is to understand and read the Bible, on letting the Spirit guide you through the words and through the stories and through the incredible, incredible strength that's in the Bible. By doing this, we grow each day. Each day that we read the Bible, we grow. Before we start or read any sections of the Bible, the first thing that we need to do is pray. Pray for clarification. Pray that the Lord shows us what He needs us to hear today. Today, now, what do I need to hear, Lord? What direction do you want me to go? What do you want to weigh on my heart? Open ourselves up to that. First of all, the most important thing, of course, is confessing and knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And that can be done. You can do this at home if you're listening here on the internet. You can accept that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose again from the dead, and will come back again for you. There's a war being fought right now. Is this a new war? No, it's not. Just the date has changed. This war has been fighting for a long, long time. But it's not going to fight forever. I truly believe that we are in the end times. Mm-hmm. I see the things that are happening. I see the biblical things that are happening. The desecration of saints' graves. The total, complete disregard of decency and life. And we're seeing that happen each day. We can't become callous to it. That's a mistake. But we cannot let it affect us to the point where we are walking around with our head in the sand, afraid. We need to look at it head on. We need to recognize what's going on. We need to recognize straight off who's doing it and who we need to fight against. We can't be an ostrich in the sand. His head may be stuck in the sand, but I tell you what, a knife will cut that head off and it's going to stay in the sand. You know, Lord, let us pray. Lord, as the days go and fold in front of us and we see what's happening throughout this world, we thank you, Lord, for one, saving us. We know we're saved, Lord. We know that we're with you. And we ask you, Lord, that help us save others. That there's others out there that need to hear your word. There's others out there that are lost, are fighting on the wrong side, that are on that way to doom, just like the walls of Jericho. They're going to tumble down. And there's not going to be any hope for them once that judgment has happened. Lord, we ask for you to reach out to ones that we love, the ones that we know, the ones that are close to us, the ones that we don't know. Use us, Lord, to reach them. Use us so we can tell them the good news. And the good news is that it's all not lost. The good news is, I read the end of the book, we win because Jesus Christ wins. Our soul is saved. We go to eternity with the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for putting us in the fight. Thank you for strengthening us. And thank you, Lord, for being that wind that keeps us flying and that warm heartbeat of love that you put inside of us. We thank you every day, Lord, for the time we have to spend with the ones that we love and be able to reach. But also we look forward, Lord, to the time we spend eternity with you. And that glorious, glorious day, Lord, we know is coming. And we just ask that until then that we do your will while we're here. We do exactly what you need us to do. I ask this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just shortly, I wanted to say something real quick. This is about an exercise that was done. There's a group of 50 people that were at a seminar. And they had a room about half the size, and they filled it up with balloons. And in that filled up full of balloons, there was also 50 balloons with the name of each person that was in that seminar. And the exercise was, the speaker said, I want everybody to go into that room and find your name, your balloon with your name. This was part of the exercise. Well, they walked into the room, and within 5 minutes, it was chaos. People were pushing each other around. Nobody could find their name on the balloon. It was utter chaos. The speaker said, okay, now I want you to try something different. You're going to go back into that room, and what you're going to do is you're going to collect a balloon, you're going to read the name on it, and you're going to give it to the person who that name it belongs to. Well, this is what happened. This is what happens in our lives every day. Within 4 to 5 minutes, everybody had their name. Everybody had their balloon. It wasn't chaos. It wasn't people pushing each other around. You see, this is exactly what happens in our lives every day. Everybody's frantically looking for happiness all around them, not knowing where it is. Our happiness lies in the happiness of others. Give them their happiness, and you will get your own happiness. And this is the purpose of human life, to give them happiness. If we can give them the Lord, we've given them happiness. If we can give them Jesus Christ, we're giving them happiness. Let's make a point to do that. And by doing that, we will get our happiness. Thank you so much. Close with Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. And 1 Timothy 3:13, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And all the people.